Many counted us out. They said we could not do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio App. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! In your face!
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to success in technology, business, and music. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. Make sure you pull out your phones and go to your Instagram and follow me at Lady Z on Instagram. Thank you so much. So today's guest is, I'm excited for you guys to hear this interview because he is the Executive Vice President and Chief Technology Officer for the Global Business Incubation nonprofit organization that's doing some incredible things internationally. I did not know that we had a mutual acquaintance as we were scheduling this interview. So I want to give a shout out to Terrence, one of my Facebook friends, mentors, just a good friend and brother. Yeah, but Dr. Paul Ruffin has 36 years of business management and IT experience. with a background in international trade and information sciences when it comes to fiber optics, supercomputing, and open source software. He is an expert, especially when it comes to enterprise system development. He is very skilled at solving problems and integrating technology into business models in a cost-effective, reliable, and incredible ways. He's a dedicated professional with, you know, strong understanding, expertise in database hierarchies, network architectures, and telecommunication systems. And he has an extensive record of designing, deploying, and managing projects that require installation, operation, and maintenance to maximize system integrity. So I want to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Dr. Paul Ruffin. How are you today?
I'm very well, and thank you for the introduction. I'm honored to, if you really knew my story, you'd have maybe a few other things that wouldn't be so good. But thank you. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to be talking with you. I love your enthusiasm, and we've been having a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to continuing it.
Yeah, so you mentioned to me, you know, about your connection to Randall Robinson. I think especially during this time, you know, just the issue of reparations is something that a lot of my friends have been bringing up on a consistent basis. So you have a connection to Trans Africa. So can you share a little bit with our listeners about that?
Well, I was a kid in trouble, and I wound up looking at some very interesting jail time at the sweet age of 18. And I was, my father was in the military at the time, three-war veteran, by the way. And my mother was working as a civil servant for the military. So I was raised on Navy and art and Navy bases, you know, and in that whole military construct. So after I did my little drug program stint with Synanon Foundation, interesting enough, another one of the first out of the LA area. But I came back to the Bay Area, and I was immediately taken up under his wing of W. Warner Beckett, who was part of Randall Robinson. And basically from remembrance of the stories, it goes kind of like this. There were two aspects that they needed to deal with back in the 50s and 60s. W. Warner Beckett was actually the gentleman who started a company called New Lady Industries, which was the first magazine for black women in the 50s, which later was bought by Johnson and became Ebony Magazine.
Hold on. You just casually dropped that little historical nugget. I did not know that.
Yeah. Look at here. Beckett was so mean. He was such a marketer. He was the one in the 50s and 60s that would print Bibles, and he would put, if the Bibles were being sold to Japanese, they were all Japanese images in the Bible. And same thing with black Bibles and, you know, and European Bibles. But he was that kind of marketing genius. And
wow.
So they knew that they knew the, at that time, and I remember reading through a document that was part of the national security. It was a national security document. It wasn't illegal, but it was illegal for black folks to be thinking about or working to do business with Africa. It was against national security interests back in the 60s. And there were documents that were actually produced with that statement. So working to overcome that objection and that issue, they decided to create two, from what I understand, they decided to create two different Trans-Africas that function. One would function politically in Washington to move and deal with the laws and that construct. But the other would be, was centered around economic development and creating a joint venture between, at that time, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea, through what was through an economic development pact that those three countries had initiated called the Manor River Union Treaty. And so when we were able to, with 52% of the corporation owned in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea, and 48% owned here, we had players such as Barclays Bank and all kinds of phenomenal names and partners in order to make this economic development construct happen. Because, interesting enough, Sierra Leone is an oil country, by the way. So we're talking, there were investments that were made, and actually HUD was even a partner with this because HUD was developing housing in Sierra Leone when I got there, because we had just purchased our own pre-manufactured housing plant, and we were developing housing that was to go overseas, and in exchange we were pulling Sierra Leone resources, manufactured materials, and bringing them onto the open market. We in the course of my being involved in TAI, we eventually became consulate for the Republic of Sierra Leone. I think that was in 1979, 1980, 1981, somewhere around there. I think it was 1980, 1981. And so what had happened for me, because of Mr. Beckett and because my father had served, and I was running around this country with diplomatic immunity with a felony. I was a felon with diplomatic immunity.
Wow.
And I took a lot
That's
of advantage on that one. I know. But that's only because, it's not because of me, it's because of the men who made the investment in me and what they had done. And I continually say that, and I will say that throughout this. Everything that I'm telling you was not because of anything that I have accomplished on my own, but it was because of what someone did for me, you know, to empower me and to make me a success. I'm capitalizing on all of the seeds that were planted by my forefathers. They told me where they planted the seeds, and they told me how to harvest because they knew they were going to be gone. So now it's my turn to harvest from what they have planted, and in turn plant seeds so those who come behind me will be able to harvest that which I have planted and bring to fruition. So on that note, we had just been awarded the consulate. We had put the consulate offices in Hayward, California, and we were functioning there, you know, doing, you know, consulate business, everything from economic development to checking on Sierra Leone nationals and what have you, visa, you know, visas, et cetera, issuing visas and all that. And then we had a very interesting meeting in San Diego, and it was in regards to a new mine that we had discovered, a new resource that we had discovered in Sierra Leone. And so we were down there with Bradley and a bunch of other folks, because we were talking about developing more in Africa, and we made that announcement.
When you say Bradley, do you mean Tom Bradley, former mayor of L.A., or?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I kind of remember that because I actually came to the meeting in my three-piece, and I didn't wear my coat, and I got reprimanded because I wasn't in my suit coat, because I had never been in front of, you know, government officials. I mean, I'm a new kid, you know, I'm just, you know, everything is new, and I have no idea of protocol, so I got schooled pretty quickly. But it was at that meeting that it was the Agency for International Development was also involved, because it was a it was a meeting for trade and commerce that aid was involved in I guess sponsoring in some kind of way and making happen, bringing various factions and various companies together. And it was at that meeting we made the announcement that we had discovered platinum. At that a country and like I said, this is only my opinion, but a country that had never experienced a coup or an attempted coup within 2 months after that announcement, we had our first attempted coup, and then within a year we were in a bloodbath, which later became known as the Blood Diamond Conflict. That literally retired me from I literally ran from California, and I wound up, you know, in Minnesota for 5 years. Nobody kind of knew where I was, and my mom and dad didn't let it. People thought I was dead, actually, but you know, it the bloodbath was so, and it still is traumatic, you know. Based on the nature of the bloodshed that happened, you know, in the mm-hmm. Civil War conflict. I'm right. also very much involved. At the same time, I was also involved in South Africa. Then I guess after I surfaced back in Minnesota, I wound up being involved in the Sudan issue with Dr. Rick Mashar and a few of those rebels, John Grange, Dr. Mashar, and... And it seems like I've been working in Sudan, Kenya, Egypt, Tanzania. I just got a call today for help in Morocco and it's T-U-N. I forget how to pronounce that. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Tanzania.
But Tanzania, exactly. And a gentleman out of Canada wants to develop some trade ties and start exporting out of Canada into Africa, into the African
markets.
Oh,
wow, that's awesome.
As I go back to the Trans-Africa, the coup, of course, stopped all kinds of commerce and activity. But the one piece right before that had happened, Trans-Africa International had just been elected to become the foreign exchange agent for the country of Sierra Leone. We had developed a way of being able to take the Leone, which was operating on a poor foreign exchange rate. I mean, it was 40-1 in the market, but it would take up to 6 months for the exchange to actually happen because they hadn't capitalized on their resources for backing. And there were a number of oil companies that were in Sierra Leone that were Leone rich, and they couldn't figure out how, you know, to convert that. So what we did was we functioned as an agent in manufacturing. We actually utilized the Leones to manufacture products, and then we would export those finished products out, thereby converting the Leone into cash for companies like Standard Oil and I forget the other one that was there. It was, I keep thinking Chevron or 76, but I know Standard Oil, and there was one other company that was operating out of that region producing oil. So being put into a position of actually functioning as the foreign exchange agent for the country of Sierra Leone. And we were moving forward, but the Blood Diamond situation or the civil war in Sierra Leone put a squelch on a lot of that. A lot of our people were killed too in that conflict. A lot of things were lost, and, you know, particularly, what I'm trying to work on right now is the repair of the youth, you know, the tens and tens of thousands of youth that were trained in how to kill. You know, they're adults now,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the same trauma and PTSD, you know, right. that I experienced. And so there's a lot of healing that needs to go on, but Sierra Leone is back on the map. They're beginning to do some things. I currently work in Sierra Leone, Liberia, Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, Kenya, Sudan, and a couple of spots here and there. We were trying to do some things in the Congo, but you know, there's a number of projects that that we're working to bring to fruition, based on one of the key things about Africa. Interesting enough, is that when it comes to the opportunities to explore technology and the implementation of newer technologies, Africa is a gorgeous campus to develop those technologies. As a matter of fact, when it comes to things like precision agriculture, you know, which is something that people here are beginning to address, and particularly here in Minnesota, but Africa is 7 years ahead of us in implementation of precision agriculture. It's just phenomenal what they're doing. So there's a phenomenal amount of opportunity in creating.
Precision agriculture? What is precision?
It is the combination of robotics, AI, and machining. You know, CNC, everything from, you know, how deep, you know, setting up robots to plant the seed perfectly and water it with the right amount of water, you know, aquaponics, hydroponics, that's all precision agriculture.
Oh, wow.
All of those technologies, mm-hmm. you know, vertical farming is part of precision agriculture.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm actually working with a group right now that's looking to bring some, it's a hydroponic, aquaponic vertical nano farming system.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So we used to talk about that. But I wanted to ask you about open source software. What role has open source software?
Excuse me.
Yeah, what role has open source software played in your, you know, your time that you are, you know, the CTO of the Global Business Incubation organization?
That's a real loaded question. And the reason I say that is because I've been doing open source since 1978.
Wow.
I grew up in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And I cut my teeth on an old Unix box, you know, programming in the Unix world. And the notion of open source versus closed source was very high in the area. I truly believe in function with open source versus closed source, because open source, it's like the jazz how I put it. It's open source
jazz
and closed
software.
Source. Okay, well, closed source is classical music. I love classical music, but it's written and you do not deviate. Open source allows you to improvise and do all kinds of things. Facebook
love
was started
it.
By open source software. Google was started by open source software. My contention these days is that a lot of us who created a lot of this open source software, these companies came in, hijacked it, now they closed source, and now they're making money, and they didn't pay us. Google, Facebook, Twitter, you know, I have some of the original source code that Facebook started with. You know, it's just...
Now, I'm not going to be able to let you just drop that comment. Come on. You have the... Some of the original code that Facebook was started with. Now break
well,
that down.
It was all open source. You know, all of it was open source.
Uh huh.
You know, and some of the development. I mean, even the developers. I mean, most developers, most of us geeks. I mean, we're always pulling from open source libraries and doing stuff and creating hacks, you know.
Like GitHub is a place we go a lot.
Well, that's the latest place. We used to, you see, you got to remember, I grew up on bulletin boards. In the old bulletin board world, the old CPM world, when you had a 300 baud modem, and you had repositories where you could pull, you know, code and data, and it was a little bit different world. But you know, the development of applications. I know I've had a couple of. I had a good friend of mine. He was the one that. Developed the concept or developed the actual erasable ink for Gillette, and he didn't get a dime.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm, because he was an employee.
Wow.
And so that, but you know, the open source is the jazz of software. It's the also, too, from the aspect closed source, when you're, One of the things that I use as an example, you know, when you're programming a CPU,
right?
That the CPU, the code that comes from this that they implement into your CPUs comes from multiple different companies. There's a million lines of code mm-hmm. that Intel pulls from different companies, and you have. And at closed source, you have no idea what they're writing in that CPU.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. And so.
And a lot of these companies, because it's closed source, they have all kinds of back doors to take all kinds mm-hmm. of data off your.
Exactly. And that's what they do. You're literally paying them to spy on you.
Exactly.
Because now you have to license it. Now. Interesting enough, one of the things that's happened over the last 20 years, or actually very, very, well, yeah, since the 90s, has been the infiltration of closed source companies like Microsoft, you know, folks like that who have infiltrated the open source world and the software that we used to be able to pull down that actually worked no longer works as well as the paid for version with support,
right?
Like Salesforce. Salesforce is a prime example. That was open source for many years. And then now if you pull down the community version, it's got all kinds of bugs. But of course, if you pull down the paid for version, it works perfectly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The notion of even some of the programming I'm not a big fan of Microsoft or Google or a lot of those companies, only because I know that they've hired trolls to run into to open source forums and literally make open source less of an option for people because of the amount of money that they were losing. It's all about the money and not about the quality of service or the quality of product that you're getting. But yeah, I've got code that I've written and that we've had, you know, that we've partook in since 1982.
Oh, wow. So my question
library.
To you is, you know, for the entrepreneur who is, you know, starting out and wanting to scale their business operations, using open source, what are some effective strategies to utilize, and what are some solid software packages that you would recommend?
Well, there's a number of them that I recommend. I mean, I was just reviewing some of the most current list on some of the things that are out there, but accounting software versus enterprise management software versus, HR packages, you know, versus, I'll put it like this, you know, based on this current state of affairs that we're in, open source offers you a way of being able to reduce the initial cost of software development if you need to, but at the same time, you're having to expend the cost of developers in order to work it, work the code to where you want it versus buying a QuickBooks package, you know, and just having it all there, you know, and being ready to go. So it's really a matter of what you are trying to do. Now, for the sake of also this conversation, when it comes to things like, you know, your Microsoft Office package 365 and that whole deal versus like an open source contender, that's a no-brainer. Why pay Microsoft 365 when you can download LibreOffice or OpenOffice and do the exact same thing? As a matter of fact, Microsoft had to create and had to catch up with OpenOffice because OpenOffice had created a new standard, the DOCX file, and Microsoft didn't have that. They had to come up to speed so that they could compete. So in various simple tools of that nature, open source offers a very good way of being able to get up and running and reduce cost of operations. But at the same time, you do need to have, it's not a place where you can just go download something and necessarily make it work. You know, you might need a high schooler, someone, you know, who's got a little understanding of systems, someone who's in a STEM class to install it and make it work, you know, set it up. Mm-hmm. So there's, but it really depends on what it is that you're trying to deal with. Like, let's see, for example, I wasn't prepared really for that question. Otherwise, I'd have had a list up of kind of the top, you know, systems out there out now. But like for ERP and CRM, ERP, and those areas, you know, there's a phenomenal number of packages that can be used to replace your current paid for, or I should say, closed source packages. You're going to pay for the software one way or another, either in labor and time, or in, you know, in back end support. You know.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on the best, like, project management open source tools?
Well, there's two that I use, Project to Work, and I also use one that was called Dot Project. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a number of them, like, let's say, Project Libre is a good one. Dot to Project, that's an old open source project management, but it hasn't been updated for quite a long time, but it's phenomenal. It still works, and it works very well. Project to work. Let's see, what are some of the others? Orange Scrum is a nice open source. Even, you know, I haven't played around with Udoo, but, you know, I'm hearing some good things about the Udoo suite. Mm-hmm. You know, and then also some bad things. Let me get some list. Airtable, Avaza, Backlog, ClickUp, FlowLoo, FeedCamp. Yeah, it's supposed to be open source. Yep, free. Now, it's interesting, too, because software like Dolabar I use for my ERP also contains within it project management capabilities. So a lot, Project Libre, Tiagra, Open Project was another one that I've dealt with. Open Workbench. It's called TuliApp. I haven't heard of that one, but that was a tool that it seemed like when the term Agile came out, everybody was, you know, looking at Agile and Scrum, you know.
Right.
So Tulip was one of the tools that they use for that. I know I had one on accounting systems. Project management software, open source. Let's see, license, Apache Allura, Apache Office Biz, Apache Bloodhound, Caligra Plan. Collaborative. Dot Project was the one I always love, you know, and still use. Endeavor Software Project Management. Also, eGroupware. eGroupware was a good one, too. I used to use that one years ago before I started going with Dot Project.
Oh, wow.
Fang Office. You know, I use Fang Office as my collaborative piece, but there's project management capabilities in there. On the community version, it's kind of lightweight, and it's good for most projects, but on the paid-for version, you get a little bit more connectivity between other software, not necessarily related to Fang Office, but, you know, your Microsoft's, you know, Outlook, and it integrates a little bit with those. You have integrations that you don't know. You get that you don't get with the community version. I'm looking at Falso CM. That's probably Scrum. I haven't seen that one. Fusion Forge, Gnat Project, or Gnat. You know, GANTT Project. That's open source. Let's see. Another one is Launchpad Libre Plan. You know, out of the Libre Office Suite. Libre Plan, which is Java. Launchpad is written in Python. By the way, Gnat Project and Fusion Forge is written in PHP. Gnat Project is Java. Fossil SCM is SQLite and C. So that should probably run real fast because it's written in C and it's not an interpretive language. Fang Office is PHP. A lot of these are, of course, PHP and Java deployments. Let me continue real quick. Besides, Mantis BT is another project management piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's open source, Open Workbench. Interesting enough, PHP Groupware and PHP Project. Now, I'm going through these, and I'm looking at a list, you know, of all of the open source and closed source. And so some of these projects, you know, are active and some of them aren't. So right now I can't tell you which ones are still active or have had contributions within the last 2 months or a year. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the ways that you can tell if you're looking to use open source, you want to find an application that is currently being updated and maintained, you know, by the community that's helping to build it. In other words, you know, they've updated it within the last 2 months or within the last week, as opposed to hasn't been updated for 3 years.
Right.
When I see stuff like that, that tells me that the project and community is probably no longer very active.
Right.
And if I have issues, I will be hard pressed to find solutions.
Right.
But active projects, but that's the kicker when you use open source, is you want to use applications that are actively being supported by the community that is around them. And one of the ways you can always, you know, that you can always see some of that activity is by going into their community forums and looking at, you know, when was the last time somebody, you know, made a comment, you know, or had an issue.
Right.
And there are, so there is a way of being able to capitalize on open source software for the reduction of in cost for operations and for which includes not only operations from HR management and accounting, mm-hmm. but even marketing, sales, and you know, in integrating such new concepts as even AI. There are AI packages that are open source.
Oh, wow.
Project QTOR is another one. Mm-hmm. Project.net is another open source. Project Libra, back in that Libra group. TAIGA. I can't really pronounce that. That's a little bit of a newer one. It's written in Python. A lot of people are doing Python now. Track is another Python project management that runs on the BSD license. Tulip and VPMI, or Web to Project. And as I said, my go-to project management software is Web to Project and Dot Project. Those are the two I use. Even though Dot Project hasn't been supported in a number of years, we did a deployment and we were able to make it work. You know, and we've been maintaining our additions over the years, and so it's been forked so that we don't have an issue with it. You know, where it works phenomenally. Gives me my NAT charts. Okay. Gives me my NAT charts and a few things that you look for in a project management type of software.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's some great information. Great information for our listeners.
We're actually preparing for that'll be on the ECI Network's website. I was actually working on over this last couple of weeks, and I just released the learning management systems that are open source that people can look at, like. Because, you know, we're doing distance learning now, and that was a big thing. So we took a look at Camille, Moodle, Caroline, eFront, Dokios, TK or TC Exam, Omeka, A-Tutor, Gibbon, Forma, Ilias, X-Tray, SouthSoft, OpenSIS as the current ones that were viable candidates in the open source world to utilize for your LMS or learning management system in-house. Mm-hmm. They were alternatives to Blackboard. And think about this, Blackboard, who's making all this money now because of their learning management system, that was open source too.
Wow.
I believe they forked it off of Moodle or Dokios, and then they tried to, and here's the kicker, then they tried to patent the name LMS so that even if you were open source, you see, this is how they work it. You know, it's like they'll infiltrate, they'll get in, and then they try to destroy the communities, you know, because the open source robs the technology giants from their
monopoly.
You know, from their monopoly, exactly. And the other piece that I love about open source, you give kids, you take in a high school, grade school, even college, you give them open source and let them play with it. Man, what they can come up with.
Yeah, that's incredible. So how can people connect with you if they want to, you know, learn more about open source or, you know, talk to you about any software development projects?
Well, I am available online. They can connect with me through ecinetworks.com. they can connect with me directly and give me a call. Our company phone is 877-568-4321. In other words, 4-ECI. 877-564-ECI. Or my cell phone is 612-242-1962. My email address is P as in Paul, Ruffin, just like David and Jimmy Ruffin. I'm not a singer, by the way. I'm just a bass player. And at ecinetworksllc.com or pruffin at gbi.systems. Or they could call you.
And
you could put them in contact with me.
Yes, I sure can. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. And you have been listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. We'll explore tech and enjoy the music while learning the secrets to success in business, technology, and music on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music. Thank you so much. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks. And I'm proud to announce that the archives of my podcast are now live on ladyze.com. So not only can you get information about upcoming and current episodes, but you can definitely go down memory lane with the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time.
Your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends, and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.